Chapter 15. Prax. Orcs crowded the Agriplex's windows and chutes, pumping the loading yard between the buildings with high-caliber shot. Crude rocket-propelled grenades screamed through the air like kamikaze bombers and blew great spumes of earth from the road. Zerbrin and his brothers gathered around Rayok and his charges and returned fire, picking their targets, always retreating towards the landing zone. An off-spherical grenade crashed through the corrugated roof of one of the cattle sheds and gutted it with fire. Zerberin raised his arm against the pelting shrapnel and tried to instill some sense into what had happened to his battlefield. The fighting was too intense and widespread to be the work of his squad alone, and if the Iron Warriors had entered the field, then he would surely know about it. He could see Brother Tarsus. The veteran was firing from behind the thick metal legs of the water tank, minimizing himself as a visible target. Brother Donbas and his heavy bolter, meanwhile, were still watching over the landing zone, outdoing the orcs' combined firepower both for sheer destructiveness and for noise. The belt-fed torrent of high-explosive anti-personnel rounds left twisted metal and pulverized plate wherever the orc sought to establish a firebase. Carver announced his presence some distance to the right amongst the slurry tanks with a mighty whoomph of his heavy flamer. An expanding mushroom of promethium wash sent burning debris pattering onto the surrounding roofs like hailstones. Glottal shouts and more crude gunfire answered back. Staccato bursts. So far, so well enough within the mission schematic that Zerberin had established during descent. At the same time as those flames were dying back, however, a flurry of LAS supercharged to the red end of the energy spectrum spat between various silos, and even from the dust desert that surrounded the oasis of rusted tin and steel. There was movement beneath the wind turbines. Human troopers in moulded black carapace and dust bowl fatigues were hurrying towards the main structure, providing rolling overwatch. Another two squads, 20 men and support weaponry, advanced more deliberately through the silos, flushing out lone orcs and Gretchen workers ahead of them with grenades and disciplined volleys of hot shot. Zerberin had seen Skitari units move like that. One will, one intent. For what looked like unaugmented human soldiers, their unit discipline was exemplary. A mechanized growl pulled Zerbrin's attention to the ramshackle orc tractor in the machine shed that he had marked on his initial approach. With a trembling of its rust-brown frame, it powered back out of the shed at speed. It lurched into a handbrake spin, flat tires skidding up dust, tarpaulin roof ballooning, then jumped forwards. There was an orc at the wheel, a dark-skinned patriarch with a leather eye patch and a massive jaw, firing one-handed out of the driver's side window with a twin-linked stubber. A gang of squealing Gretchen packed the rear container, holding on to the metal sides or to the single ladder that ran up the back, and blazed wildly in all directions. A bullet punched a trooper from his feet, reflex pulling a wild burst of Laz skyward as he fell. His squadmates spread out into the thin cover of the various silos and raked the careening vehicle with lasfire. A fireball lit off under the truck's rear exhaust, flipping the vehicle over and into a roll that ended with it on its side and white with dust. "Beautiful," said Columba, drilling a dazed-looking Gretchen that staggered from the upended rear compartment with a bolt round. Zerberin shot his gaze back towards the silos and the unexpected aid streaming from them. An officer and his bodyguard were running towards Zerbrin's position, heads down, while the remaining troopers laid down suppressive fire. On approaching the Towering Fist's exemplar captain, the officer pulled himself straight, transferred the second of the two hell pistols he was carrying to his offhand, and threw a sharp salute. Half the fingers of his hand had been replaced with augmetics. The horror of burned flesh that had cost him that side of his face and eyesight was old enough to have scarred and yet looked to have received little or no Medicaid attention.
"Major Dannett Bryce, 17th Gemmick Dragoons,"
he spoke in an easy yell that carried his voice over the explosive chatter of gunfire. His damaged face glowed, flushed with supreme self-righteousness and the Emperor's love.
"And as pleased as you might expect to see you here, my lord."
"Astra Militarum?" asked Zerberin.
Bryce gave what was, by his own unfortunate necessity, a crooked smile.
"You have something that needs doing, you call on the Astra Militarum. You have something that needs done, then you call for the 17th.
Militarum Tempestus, muttered Columba. Scions. There was a battalion of them deployed to the compliance campaign on Krantar 7.
We spotted two more gunships, one from another chapter, said one of the major's guards earnestly.
A big man, only a foot or so shorter than Zerberin, and from the weight of his gear, some kind of mission specialist. Zerberin guessed ordnance.
Are they hitting other targets? When can we expect the rest of the Liberation Fleet?
You're out of line, Sergeant, snapped Bryce,
then turned to Zerberin with an apologetic shrug.
We've been a long time outside of chain of command, my lord.
How long?
I lose track. Several months. We're here on a commissariat special objective. Slow the orcs down in whatever way we can and prepare the ground for reconquest. Weren't you informed?
Months? Said Zerberin, ignoring the question. Then you can tell us about the orcs' activities here.
We could. Do you have time for a detour?
We have time.
Then we can show you. There's an orbital command substation 12 hours east of here as you head towards Princus Praxa.
Advise that we explain on the way,
barked a female trooper, with the coarse voice of a low-stick lifer and the frosty exterior of an ice world. She was looking at the slate monitorum set into the back of her left gauntlet. It showed what appeared to be heat sources over a grid. A solid mass of them were congregating directly ahead, while still more continued to spill in from the edges.
The orcs are regrouping inside the Agriplex, and Sergeant Cullen reports two vehicle squadrons inbound with flyer support.
Bryce turned questioningly to Zerberin, who nodded. They could spare another 12 hours, and he could already hear the sound of approaching engines. He doubted whether they could all be extracted by air before orc reinforcements arrived, and he would be loath to leave a useful force of Imperial soldiery to the captivity of the Greenskins. The human chattel currently held within the Agriplex were another matter. They were, he had concluded, a neutral variable, neither an asset to the success of his mission nor a hindrance, and could thus more usefully be ignored.
Antil, Zerberin voxed, contact Calcator and inform him of the change in plan. Tell him to be quick. We have orc aircraft inbound. As you say, brother.
Zerberin removed his helmet with a hiss of demagnetization and focused his hearing on the incoming petrochem growl, his lyman's ear isolating it from the din and sharpening it. It was the distant but rapidly closing roar of a Thunderhawk's combat engines. Zerberin looked up at the moment that the Iron Warrior's gunship, Meritara, came down behind the line of wind turbines, losing itself in the dust thrown up by its underwing exhausts. The biblades spun until they blurred, droning, superfast, chips of metallic debris spanking off the blades. Turbofans angling to hover, the gunship's box jaw pivoted towards the Agriplex and opened up with its full forward arsenal. Zerberin cursed, shoved Bryce to the ground and crouched over him.
Defend the apothecary!
Turbo lasers, heavy bolters and las cannons chewed through the structure with a sound like a wood saw biting on steel. Men and transhumans alike broke from combat and threw themselves down as a quartet of Hellstrike missiles whistled from the Thunderhawk's underwing hardpoints and into the Agriplex. Explosions blossomed along the building's width, spread low like demolition charges rigged, primed and detonated in sequence, triggering a chain collapse that brought its metal walls crashing into dust and fire. Zerberin, still crouched protectively over the lightly concussed Tempestus Scion's commander, turned his face into the heat storm. Bits of metal and burning cinders streamed down like a scene from the last days of the siege. Massive warriors, veterans in ornate gunmetal and bronze, moved through the pyroclastic rain and brought bolters to bear.
Arise, little cousin, said Calcator.
The warsmith's deep voice resonated harshly from the glowing vox grill of his horned helmet. His baroque Mark III power armor was embellished with hooks strung with barbed wire, weird devices, and campaign citations from 100 worlds rendered lifeless by a war a millennium before Zerberin had been born. His left arm was a bionic of superb integration and design, the product of a craft lost to all but a few. Dazed, Bryce looked from one space marine to the other, his mouth making confused, soundless shapes. The twin barrels of Calcator's combi bolter were trained between Zerberin's eyes.
My gunship has room enough for your squad. Take what you came for and leave before the orcs come back for vengeance. You are a soulless traitor, Calcator. There were people in there. It is a war of survival we fight.
I wager as though it is one I intend to win. We received your update. Were you not about to abandon them? There is a difference. Your own survival, I am convinced, you treasure, but not mine, nor theirs.
Zerbrin pointed to the Scions scattered about. A good number had gone to ground amongst the battered silos as soon as the Agriplex had gone up, and most of them had visual augmenter beams dancing over the Iron Warrior's armor. Had the Imperium seen fit to educate even its best with a fuller knowledge of its history and its foes, then things would have become very ugly, very fast.
Truer words were never uttered by a bastard of Dawn, said Calcator. But at this moment my fate is dependent on yours. Our mission is unfinished. These men speak of an operation of some kind being conducted on the surface nearby, a data trove of the Orcs' activities that is within our grasp if we can move faster than word of our presence here.
Arise, Calcator growled again.
His gauntlet finger slid across the Combi Bolter's trigger like a whetstone over a sickle.
I will kill these men before they can lead you to your death. You would have to kill me to do it.
Do you think you would be the first?
Zerbrin met the ruby glare of the Warsmith's gaze without fear. The Iron Warrior grunted with frustration and lowered his weapon. Even for a near-immortal, transhuman monster like Calcator, time was finite and precious, as rare as an ally.
The gods curse you, you and the stubbornness of your stock. Very well, we will go with you one step further. Apothecary, he barked at Rayok, you may keep your cargo aboard my gunship for safekeeping.
Zerberin's triumphant smile faded. Through the dust sent rolling out from underneath the Thunderhawk's idling turbofans, there came the rolling snarl of engines. Headlamps pierced the cloud, and for a heart-stilling moment, Zerberin thought that the Orc's relief force was on them already. But then, the slab-sided gunmetal shapes of a squadron of Iron Warrior's bikers drove snarling through the murk. Wide rubber tires with deep spiked treads chewed the loose ground as they took position by the wind turbines. Behind them marched a second 10-man squad, who fanned out, adopting a staggered firing line of bolters and siege weaponry, shielding the ponderous advance of a final 3 Iron Warriors behind them. They were huge, armored like tanks and bound in razor wire. Terminators. The Colossi stomped into position behind the traitor Space Marines, tactical dreadnought suits purring and belching black smoke, as they redressed the aim of their combi bolters towards the Militarum Tempestus men. Zerberin's smile returned, as he found himself oddly pleased by this restoration of a cosmic truth.
One squad each, is it? As your precious codex tells you, little cousin, if your enemy has one squad, bring two.